Please join me in the first lesson, which will be read responsively. O Lord, you have searched me and known me.
You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away.
For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and I know very well.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, but none of them has yet existed.
How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God!
How vast is the sum of them!
I try to count them. They are more than sand.
I come to the end, and I still with you.
Our second lesson today comes from the book of Acts, the 9th chapter. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with a request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him weeping and showing the tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. So last Sunday, I ended my sermon by showing you all a scarf. It's now on the communion table. I call it my Holy Spirit scarf, but it's actually kind of an Easter scarf, too. My Aunt Sarah painted the silk that she made the scarf out of, and there's a dove on one side and Easter lilies on the other side. We also talked today about the amazing women who helped make this quilt that's hanging behind me. The stole I am wearing today was actually made by Palestinian Christian women from the West Bank in Israel. And in my email this week, I mentioned this needlework that I found that was found as we were cleaning out closets over the last couple years around the church, and it's a cross stitch of the Lord's Prayer. All of these pieces of needlework and handiwork remind me of the woman in our scripture lesson today from the book of Acts. Her name is Tabitha. Ever since Samantha Stevens named her daughter Tabitha on the TV show Bewitched, I have loved this name. In fact, I remember thinking that if I ever had a daughter, I would name her Tabitha too. Although that didn't happen, I'm still reserving it as a potential name for my next cat. Regardless, I remember being very excited to learn that there was also a woman in the Bible named Tabitha, too. Tabitha shows up in the book of Acts, which can be found in the New Testament just after the four Gospels. Acts tells the story of the earliest disciples and apostles and the birth of the church in the years immediately following Jesus' death and resurrection. After Jesus' ascension into heaven, which we will celebrate at the end of this month, the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on those earliest disciples and apostles, empowering them to spread the good news of new life in Christ and to keep on doing God's work of resurrection everywhere they went, bringing God's abundant life, grace, hope, justice, and peace to the world. Tabitha lived in Joppa, a town about 40 miles northwest of Jerusalem on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. The good news of Jesus' resurrection had already come to Joppa, birthing a local church community there. One of the movers and shakers in the Joppa church was Tabitha, also known by her Greek name, Dorcas, both of which mean gazelle. The story tells us that Tabitha was a disciple. In fact, this is the only place in the New Testament where the feminine form of the Greek word for disciple appears. She was clearly a leader in the community, known for her good works and acts of charity. And although our Bible translates it as being devoted to good works, a better translation would be full of good works. It's the same word used to describe folks who are filled with the Holy Spirit. As one commentator explains, Tabitha did not just dabble in good works. They were not a hobby of hers. They were not a compartment of an otherwise busy life. Good works were her life. She had no room for anything else because her life was overflowing with good works and acts of charity. Good works were what Dorcas was all about. We learn a few verses later that Tabitha's primary ministry was most likely with a group of widows. Back in that time, widows were among the most vulnerable and impoverished people in the community. Without a husband to provide for them, widows were on the bottom rung of society, poor and voiceless and powerless. And yet these widows were welcomed into early Christian communities with open arms and offered dignity and a place to belong. As we learn a few chapters earlier in Acts, caring for these widows was one of the first organizational challenges that the early church faced. Back in chapter 6 of Acts, when faced with a distribution problem, the 12 disciples appointed a whole new group of church leaders, the deacons, to care for the widows and make sure they had enough food to eat. Although we know very little about Tabitha's family or background, she clearly had resources and skills that she quickly put to work in caring for the widows in her community. She was a talented seamstress, making clothing for these widows as well as their children, since oftentimes these women did not have the means to even buy the supplies they would need to make their own clothing or for their kids. Serving in this way, Tabitha probably provided other kinds of support too: food and friendship, health care, childcare, maybe even housing or employment. However, tragedy struck the fledgling church when Tabitha became ill and died. The community was devastated. They were thrown into disarray. They had lost one of their pillars. Two of the other disciples in Joppa had heard that the great apostle Peter was nearby in the next town over, and so they sent for him to come right away. Maybe he could help them figure out what to do next and how they would go on without her. In the meantime, many of the widows Tabitha had helped gathered together in their grief to prepare her body for burial. In addition to wearing them, they also brought along many of the tunics and clothes that she had made for them, and they shared their stories of her kindness, compassion, generosity, and deep faith. As one commentator said, it was a wonderful tribute to Dorcas, a living fashion show, the work of her hands walking around while stories were told of her love and compassion. It was the fashion show of her life. They were showing her off by showing off her handiwork. When Peter arrived and took in the scene, he was overwhelmed by the depth of everyone's grief and their stories about this amazing disciple. The widows showed him the tunics and the other handiwork Tabitha had made. It was clear that her ministry was central to the life of this faith community. So in words and actions, reminiscent of Jesus' healing of Jairus' daughter in Luke's gospel, Peter asked everyone to leave the room so he could pray. And did anybody happen to notice where the room was? Upstairs. It's an upper room. We know things often happen in the upper room, don't we? Kneeling beside Tabitha's body and seeking God's guidance, Peter heard God's call to do the work of resurrection, to bring the dead back to life, just like he had seen Jesus do. "Tabitha, get up," he said. "Arise." Tabitha opened her eyes and sat up. Death might come for her someday, but not today. Peter helped her up and opened the door so that they could share the good news with everyone waiting outside. Whereas the widows had shown Peter Tabitha's handiwork, Pastor Beth Skibinski notes, now Peter showed them the work of God's hand, the work of the Spirit to resurrect, to give life, to recreate, to lift up. Peter showed them God's handiwork. What Tabitha's story shows us is that Jesus' resurrection is not the last word, but really just the beginning of God's resurrecting power on the loose in the world. And all of us are invited to participate in it. As preaching professor John Holbert writes, it is clear that Luke, who also wrote the book of Acts, wants his readers to be certain that the power demonstrated by the risen Lord is now manifest in those who follow him. In other words, God has long chosen agents to work God's power in the world. The resurrection of Jesus is not the only or even the first or last example of that power's manifestation. He goes on, what I celebrate on Easter is the reactivation of the power of resurrection in the world. Wherever the power of death is overcome by the power of resurrected life, we see again the power of God alive in God's world. That is the living power of the resurrection, that reality that binds together all who believe in hope. Tabitha was not just a talented seamstress and a faithful disciple. She was God's handiwork, and she did God's handiwork with the gifts and abilities that God had given her, providing new life and love and hope to some of the most desperate people around her. The same is true and possible for all of us. In fact, it is our calling as children of God and disciples of Jesus Christ. As the first lesson reminded us this morning, each and every one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. The Apostle Paul echoes this in his letter to the Ephesians when he says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works as our way of life. I learned about a more contemporary Tabitha just this past week. In the 1940s, Edna Ruth Byler was a wife, mother, and active volunteer in her Mennonite church in Akron, Pennsylvania. She was famous for her warm hospitality, her creative spirit, and her cinnamon rolls. I think I would have liked to have been her friend. In 1946, Byler traveled with her husband to Puerto Rico, where she met women in the La Plata Valley who were struggling to feed their children. Having lived through hard times herself during the Depression, Byler knew the face of poverty. She also knew the importance of dignity and people wanting a way to help themselves. So she was moved to do something. Byler saw the pieces of fine embroidery that the women of La Plata had created but had no place to sell. If she, an American tourist, was so struck by these unique textiles, perhaps other Americans would also appreciate their beauty. With no clear plan, but a sense of clear purpose, Byler bought everything she could on the spot. She brought the pieces home and began to sell them to her friends and neighbors. She then reinvested the earnings to buy more from the same women, and a cycle began. By the 1950s, she was driving her Chevy packed with global needlework to women's sewing circles and parties of interested friends all over the country. At each stop, she shared the stories of the makers, describing how each purchase meant that a woman gained economic independence and a chance to give her family a brighter future. It was a simple idea, but a pioneering one that would launch 10,000 Villages, one of the world's oldest and largest fair trade organizations. And it would blossom into a global fair trade movement. Edna Ruth Byler's single gesture, multiplied by the actions of countless others, continues to carry a tangible impact across 10,000 of villages today. Where have you seen a Tabitha at work? Do you know any Dorcases? Women or men who brought their faith and dedication, their gifts and skills, and just stepped in and did the basic work that needs to be done, who see a need and address it, whether it's feeding or weeding, baking or building, caring and sharing their time and energy and skill and resources to do the work of resurrection, to offer hope and healing, love and new life. I've seen them and met them and worked with them in every single church I have been a part of. As biblical scholar N.T. Wright says, Tabitha stands for all of those unsung heroines and heroes who have got on with what they can do best and have done it to the glory of God, living their lives in faith and hope, bearing the sorrows of life, no doubt, as well as celebrating its joys, and finding the small acts of service to others a fulfillment of the gospel within their own sphere, using traditional skills to the glory of God. I am privileged to know many Tabithas and Dorcases, he writes. When I meet such people, I greet them as they are, the beating heart of the people of God. We have plenty here, too. Tabithas and Toms, Dons and Dorcases, faithful folk who show up when they're needed to unload trucks, dig graves, make coffee, offer a ride or a helping hand, run the tech equipment, clean out closets or pack bags of food. Tabitha's story today especially made me think of our knit-togethers and our prayer shawl groups. The knit-togethers knit baby blankets for needy moms in Peekskill, lap blankets for seniors in Somers, and hats and scarves for our hat and mitten tree at Christmas time. The prayer shawl crew crochets shawls and blankets for Project Linus, as well as countless folks in our church and our community who are going through difficult times. Illness and recovery, loss and grief, challenges and transition. I especially think of one young woman who received a blanket in the hospital when her baby was born. Her baby didn't survive, and this distraught mother wrote that this blanket was the only thing she was able to bring home from the hospital to remind her of that little life that had touched her body, her heart, and her soul so deeply. Let me read a couple of thank you notes that we've gotten here at the church. One recipient of a blanket wrote, "There is nothing that speaks so clearly the language of love as a piece of work created by the hands of another. There is no love I cling to and value more than that of you, my friends and sisters in Christian community." Another person wrote, "Once again, my new friends at FPC Yorktown have brought tears of happiness to my eyes. I always wondered what a prayer shawl was and what purpose it served. To find myself unexpectedly becoming a recipient of one has brought me so much happiness and comfort. To own an item made with such love, prayer, and concern is truly an honor. I thank you all for your time, your prayers, and your love in creating this beautiful piece of handiwork for me." No matter who you are God's handiwork. No matter what gifts and skills and abilities you have, you are called to do God's handiwork wherever you are. As one preacher said, this is where the story of Dorcas connects for all of us. Jesus may call a few of us to some field of mission for which we have to learn new skills, but more often his call is to put the skills and interests we're already aware of, and maybe even passionate about, at his disposal so that we can be channels of Christ's love right here where we are. Sewing is the craft of fastening or attaching material using stitches with a needle and thread. Dorcas attached fabric with stitching, but in doing her work and in exercising her gift, she managed to stitch together a whole community. Our gifts can do that too, because in using them for the Lord's service, we bind ourselves to others and them to us, and we all are brought closer together. Our Bible story today shows us that Tabitha's work and the work of so many other faithful disciples is just too important to let it die. In fact, it is the very heartbeat of our life together and the new life that we have received in Jesus Christ. This is the power of the resurrection which we are gifted and called to embody in the world around us. Friends, as children of the living God, we are her handiwork. As disciples of the risen Christ, we are called to do God's handiwork each and every day with whatever we have, bringing hope and healing, justice and peace, new and abundant life, wherever we are, wherever we go, to everyone who needs them. Amen.